and Excelsior out there to everyone all in podcast land. This is the Front Row Podcast, the podcast for people who actually like movies right here on NPR Illinois. And I am Jeremy Gechner, the editor-in-chief, along with me here today to recap Comic-Con Day 3. Well, more specifically, the insane Marvel Studios All-Age panel from tonight is Mr. Scott McFarland. What's up, Scott?
I'm here to talk about Star Trek Picard.
I was about to say, man, yeah, we definitely have to spend some time, like, you know, the 2 minutes that we have allotted to talk about that Picard trailer, because it's pretty awesome. But of course, this has been our series of videos and a podcast chronicling all the news from San Diego Comic-Con, of course, nerd heaven every single year. And this is no different. We're going to recap very quickly some of the other stuff that happened today and then get to the big meat of what Marvel Studios announced today with Phase 4. So, Scott, let's just start right there. You are obviously the Star Trek aficionado of the Front Row. You lead the Discovering Star Trek show and such. What did you think of the Picard trailer and what they're bringing back and the direction it looks like they're going?
Well, it's not just Picard. It's the entire franchise is getting kicked into warp speed, yeah, as I will say. But we've got coming out in 2019 more short treks, which are 10 to 15 minute episodes, three of which are going to be with the Enterprise crew, and the Enterprise crew being Captain Pike, Anson Mount, and his crew that we met in Discovery Season 2, which there's a lot of clamoring online to get an Enterprise TV show. And if they've got these three people signed on for short treks and they're keeping the sets, I think it's only a matter of time before we get an Enterprise TV show, which is going to be great because Captain Pike was never really an impressive character in the Star Trek canon until Anson Mount took him over and made him into one of the best Star Trek captains we've ever had. So I'm looking forward to that. Along with that, we're going to have an animated short trek, which I'm not really interested in at all, but we're going to have one tying in with Lower Decks, which, again, I've never watched the whatever the hell show it is that people are, you know, freak out about, Rick and Morty. I've never watched it. Sure. Never watched more than 2 seconds of it, so I have no care in the world for it, but whatever. And then the final short trek is going to be an introduction to Picard and showing us the 15 to 20 years since we last saw him, which was Nemesis, which leads into the Picard trailer, right, which one big change is it's not coming in 2019 now. The trailer says 2020, so yeah, they're putting it off a little bit, which is fine by me because I want this to be really good. They let the one thing out of the bag that no one who knows anything about Star Trek thought was going to happen, and that was they always kept saying, well, it's just going to be a Picard show. We're probably not going to see anybody from TNG. You're going to get the entire cast.
Yeah.
And if you didn't think you were going to get the entire cast, you have D.H. Brent Spiner, who says, shut up.
Well, and I mean, I loved his, I loved the story he told at the panel too, about why he said yes. Cause apparently, yes, they approached him for it and then he said no. And then Patrick Stewart was like, did he say he like cried or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like, well, okay, I can't say no now.
I'm one of the few people who don't think that making TNG into the Picard data show was a good idea. I think it shortchanged a lot of the other really good cast members, but yeah, it's the Data and Picard show. The one big canon thing, and I know no one cares about this. They want to hear about Marvel, so I'll be quick. But the one big canon thing is canon has been assumed that there was the prime timeline, which is what TNG is, and Deep Space Nine and Voyager, which we saw Jerry Ryan as well too. So Voyager is going to play a role in this. And so in the prime timeline, Romulus is destroyed about 20 years ago, which sends Spock back in time, which causes the Kelvin universe, the last three, right, movies. But before that Romulus was destroyed, we have a comic book that came out that was supposedly canon that showed Captain Data in charge of the Enterprise. The assumption being that the, you know, B4 or B9 from Nemesis took over, had Data's memory and all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. But it looks like Data's been on cold ice for 20 years, the way this trailer looks. So I think they're going to be changing things up. I don't think we're going to have Captain Data. I think we're going to have Data coming back online for the first time in 20 years, which is going to be interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, they called him what, Commander Data, in this trailer,
which he was Lieutenant Commander in Nemesis. So yeah. it's the same as rank, but I mean, obviously, the Data we know blew up in Nemesis, and this is B9, yeah. Or it could also be lore, but it's some other android. Probably B9, but again, I have no doubt that it's going to be Data that we all know and love, but it's going to be interesting how they change that up. Jonathan Frakes is going to be directing a couple episodes, so we will see White Riker back, mm-hmm. which means we'll see Troy back. LeVar Burton has said that he is gung-ho, ready to go, and if they don't bring Q back, it's a waste of John Delancey. So basically what I'm getting at is, you're going to have a TNG reboot here, or not reboot, a TNG sequel here, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's where I'm arriving on it too, and just with it looks like much better, or at least a much bigger budget than what TNG had. So,
well, and another thing that came up from the panel that I did appreciate was Star Trek, and I've liked Discovery, especially season two, but Star Trek has been dark lately, basically from Nemesis on, and I like the fact that the showrunner and Kurtzman both pointed out that this is the optimistic future that we remember from TNG.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it to be, as they said, a soul search for Picard, but I'm looking forward to it also not being a dark, gritty realization of the future. I want the Roddenberry utopia back.
Yeah, definitely. And actually, that plays into what Senator Cory Booker had to say on the floor earlier today about Star Trek as well. So there you go, Cory Booker. Plug for you. I guess somebody has to. All right. Well, real quick, also from today, we got our first look at Shudder's Creepshow series that's coming out. That looks thoroughly creepy for all of you anthology horror film lovers. Scott, I know you saw the Watchmen series trailer from HBO. What were your thoughts on this real quick?
I've never liked Alan Moore.
There you go.
So, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. As I just mentioned, I don't go for the nihilistic stuff, which is why we were talking about Westworld season two and how I couldn't stand it. And Watchmen is just nihilism, and it's just, so it's not my thing. I'm interested to see that it is a sequel, and we'll see how it goes. I don't know how you do Watchmen without Dr. Manhattan. I'm assuming he'll come back. But it's just not my cup of tea. It never has been. I don't like definitely. 80s grit comics.
That's fine. You know, I've always been a huge fan of Watchmen. I'm very interested to see what they do with this. It's been that and V for Vendetta is definitely the Alan Moore that I can take. I'm not a huge fan of his, DC stuff, but, aside from the Swamp Thing run, but I think that, yeah, this is going to be an interesting way that they're taking the series, and color me very interested. HBO, I am all there for you. Also today, just very quick, we got the news that the Orville is heading over to Hulu from Fox. Whoop-de-doo, you're still going to get it. But I believe, Scott, you found out that that's because of scheduling stuff with getting the season done, right?
Yeah, there was some talk about maybe that Orville wasn't performing, but Orville has been performing really well. What happened is Seth MacFarlane has like 17 different things that he's doing. And so from what I have read, he basically was told, okay, we're going to have a mid-season premiere again for season three. And he said, I can't do it. Yeah. We don't have enough time to get written because he writes most of the episodes, and to get it all shot and do the special effects, which if you haven't watched the Orville, the special effects in the Orville are really good.
Yeah.
So they're basically just going to give him more time. And because Fox still follows the stupid ass TV schedule that's been around since the 1950s with seasons, it's easier just to stream. And, you know, now that Fox is owned by Disney, it makes sense that Disney's trying to consolidate over at Hulu. Because they own Hulu as well. So it makes sense. And I'm looking forward to see how Disney uses this property, because it is their answer to Star Trek. And I'm interested to see if they utilize it that way.
Yeah, definitely. So you already said the Westworld season three trailer also came out. Cool, if you like it, cool. I'm not a big fan of Westworld on HBO, but whatever.
I already bashed season two, but season one was really, really good. I love the idea of AI coming into its own, but yep. Season two was such a slog. And people are like, well, you just didn't understand the time travel. No, I got it. It was shit.
Well, the only other thing that happened before we get to Marvel, of course, the Arrowverse had all of their panels that happened today, too. Brandon Routh, though, I mean, it was broken on day one that he would be reprising his Superman role from Superman Returns in the Arrowverse crossover. And today at the panel, he specifically unbuttoned his shirt, and it had the Superman S, but specifically the Superman S from Kingdom Come. So this is a very, very interesting, maybe possible wrinkle, or he just wore that shirt because that's the shirt he likes.
That's the one he got off the comic book floor. He ran by somebody's stand and said, hey, there's an S. I got it.
Hey, there's the S there.
Since Brandon Routh is the last good Superman we've had, I'm looking forward to it.
How dare you, sir?
No, Man of Steel and Batman versus Superman.
He's been great.
I haven't watched the CW Supergirl. But in the films, Henry Cavill, I'm sure, could have been a good Superman. Yeah, he wasn't.
I'll get that. I definitely think he was wasted.
I think Brandon Routh was wasted on a bad movie. And I actually
really liked Routh's Superman. His portrayal of Superman.
Because he was Christopher Reeve. And if you got the best thing ever, why would you reinvent it?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm right there with you. I'm very interested to see what they're going to do there, especially since he's pulling double duty. He's going to be playing Ray Palmer and Superman in that crossover. So fun times.
I saw an interview with him where he said that they're thinking about maybe having Ray Palmer and Clark Kent interact, and he's very much looking forward to that.
It'd be fantastic. I'm telling you right now, I am very, very much looking forward to that. But, of course, everyone, it is Saturday on Hall H in Comic-Con in San Diego, which means one thing, which means...
Kevin Smith's panel.
Yes, exactly. Kevin Smith's panel, which I'm really hoping there's still people at right now. But man, oh man, oh man, it is Marvel's time. And you know, look, we knew that there was going to be a vacuum with the movie studios this year because Universal wasn't going, Paramount wasn't going, Sony wasn't going. So it really let the TV side breathe for the first couple of days. But man, did Marvel just hammer home the amazingness of its phase four here. And look, Scott, I don't know about you, but it's just an overall thing. It's like, I don't know if I was expecting, like, look, I know they only gave us 2 years and they blended the Disney Plus stuff in there, but I was not expecting, you know, as much of a phase four as we got here. I thought they would play a lot more coy with it, but seeing the sheer number of projects they have coming out in the next 2 years, I mean, what was your initial reaction to that?
Well, I saw people online saying, well, man, 2020 is going to be kind of a bummer. Only two Marvel movies. I'm like, you're getting seven different products in 2021. Let them take a breath and start filming some of this stuff. My God.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's the thing. They showed the big, you know, just like the El Capitan presentation, you know, they had the timeline out there with untitled projects. And you see it. And I said in our group message, I was like, man, either their graphic designer really screwed up or they're literally releasing seven properties in 2021.
And they didn't screw up.
No, they did not screw up. And I don't know about you, but I think that this really, really, really belays that, you know, Marvel is going to invest a lot of time and a lot of money into these Disney Plus series. I mean, I know that that's what they said in the past, but the fact that they're putting them right there next to each other with these movies and announcing them at the same time, I really get the sense that these things are going to be very much on par budget-wise and look and feel-wise with the MCU films. Is that what you're thinking as well?
Well, yeah, and this is the first time, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't count,
yeah.
Where the studio is handling both the TV side and the movie side. And they flat out said, Scarlet Witch and WandaVision will tie directly into Doctor Strange Part 2.
Yeah.
So either they've gotten to a point now where you need to get Disney Plus or you're going to be lost. And I'm completely fine with that. I always knew I wasn't going to get Daredevil and Luke Cage in a movie because there was Netflix and Disney weren't getting along from the very beginning. But now there is, I hate this word, but there's corporate synergy and everything is connected finally. So it's very fun to see Kevin Feige be able to expand past the 2 to 3 films he was getting every year to be able to play in that sandbox.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we're going to get so much development of these characters all over the place. But let's start right at the very beginning. As Julie Andrews once told us, the very first announcement that they made was The Eternals. That is going to be coming in November 6th, 2020. Of course, we knew that this movie was coming, but what we didn't know was the full cast list that was going to be coming there. Richard Madden from Game of Thrones, Kumail Nanjiani, who is just supernova right now in the movie world. Lauren Ridloff, Brian Tyree Henry from Into the Spider-Verse last year, Salma Hayek making her MCU debut, Leah McHugh, Donna Lee, and of course Angelina Jolie, now officially confirmed for The Eternals. Scott, what do you think of this announcement, and what do you think specifically of this cast?
They basically decided, okay, no one knows what The Eternals are,
yeah,
and we're not gonna expect them to go to the Wikipedia page. So let's get every single named actor we haven't pulled into the MCU yet and throw them into The Eternals, so no one's going to care who The Eternals are. And if anyone wants to argue, well, The Eternals is too much of a deep cut, no one knew who the Guardians of the Galaxy were. Literally, and now it's one of the biggest franchise, not just for Marvel, but in film. So
yeah.
This is the Marvel just saying, we can do anything.
Yeah, you're gonna see anything we want, we give you, and that's just how it's gonna be, people. Really cool to see them all out there. Of course, Angelina Jolie was quoted as saying, "I'm gonna work harder than I ever have."
We hope so, because you kind of,
however you want,
you kind of phone in a lot of stuff, Angelina. So not gonna lie.
And I mean, you just look at it though, it's just like and especially with the rest of these announcements too, like the level of talent in acting that that Marvel Studios is now housing under their continuous roof here. Lose a Robert Downey Jr., give an Angelina Jolie, a Richard Madden, a Mahershala Ali, blah, 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 blah. Just insane stuff here. The next announcement, of course, was the Falcon and the Winter Soldier series, which will be arriving in fall of 2020 on Disney+. Craig took issue with that. It's not called Captain America and the Winter Soldier, whatever. I gotta say,
there's a reason for that.
Yeah, and I think you're right, because is it your contention that there's going to be a lot of like grappling with that with Sam taking the mantle of Cap?
Sam Wilson in this universe has only been friends with Captain America for 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. He has served as one of the new Avengers for a while, but he's been kind of ancillary. And now he has been thrusted into this moniker that is the first Avenger.
Yeah.
Not to mention that, but the guy who everyone assumed should get the shield is next to him. Mm-hmm. So he's going to have to grapple with the idea that, is he worthy of this? And is he the one who should be worthy of this? That being said, I'm very happy that we skipped Bucky and went right to Sam. So I'm looking forward to that. But I think this is going to be an arc of him building into the red, white, and blue. You'll probably won't even see him pull the shield out for a couple episodes because he's not ready yet.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. Build into it.
And I loved, obviously, that was one of the final scenes in Endgame, was Cap giving Sam the shield. And I love, like, the minute he says thank you, you hear the original Captain America music theme underneath it. And I absolutely love the interaction that he says, too. The only thing he says to Cap is, thank you, I'll do my best. And, of course, Cap says back to him, that's why it's yours. And I just love that.
There's another reason why I'm glad that Falcon's keeping his name, and that is something that Mackie pointed out when he first took on the role, and that was, he was always a Falcon fan as a kid because he was the one black superhero that wasn't called black something, like Black Panther.
Yeah.
He was just black, the Falcon.
Yeah.
So it was like, this is a black guy from urban area who doesn't have to be called black something. So keeping the Falcon moniker makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. And this is definitely my favorite logo of all of them, too. This graphic designer on this one, fan-freaking-tastic.
Yeah.
But this is going to be great. And, of course, they had such a great comedy chemistry in Civil War, Sebastian.
Oh, just the scene in the Volkswagen Bug. Can you move your seat up? No.
It's going to be so great. All right, well, then we were back into the movie side of news. And, of course,
Time out. You didn't mention too, Baron Zemo is coming back well too.
No, I didn't.
So we have our villain.
That's good. That's going to be interesting because I think we're probably going to get a little bit. I mean, I was one who actually really liked Daniel Brühl's performance.
Oh, I think he was handled well.
And I love the emotion that got into that. You know, I didn't need the dude, you know, dressed in the fur-laced unitard. Like, I love Zemo's psychology that he plays with here. And I like the idea of him being the foil to these two guys as well. So, yeah, mm-hmm. Really cool announcement there.
I'm good now.
Yeah. Oh, okay. There's more, I promise, people. So back to the movie side of things. It's been known for a while that Marvel is developing Shang-Chi, the Master of Kung Fu. No surprise, China is the number two movie market in the world now. And so
you didn't say the whole title, sir.
I have not yet, because it is freaking incredible. We have revealed February of 2021, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. Kidding me?
This is the first time, but not the last time, we're going to take the little check and go, Scott was right. Check. Check. Well,
you're right about a couple of things there, but of course, we learned in this that Awkwafina is joining the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Which
am I the only person up until now who thought that was just water?
Yeah, I know, right?
I'm sorry. I will look into the woman and I will learn more about her. But I swear, when somebody said it's Awkwafina, I was like, isn't that water?
Wait, water is going to be in this? Okay. Crazy Rich Asians, dude. She is fantastic in it. Also in this, we learned that Tony Leung is going to be playing the Mandarin.
The real Mandarin.
Yes, the real Mandarin. So now, look at that. Everybody bitching about Iron Man 3, the retcon comes full circle, everyone.
No. This is not going to help Iron Man 3. This is just them saying, yeah, we know we screwed up. That's all this is.
But I mean, if they're going to admit a screw up, man, they gave you a phenomenal actor to pull into that role. And I'm going to be very interested to see not only how they handle that role, because obviously, Scott, you've talked in the past about, you know, the obvious racist overtones of that character when it first came into existence in the Marvel comic books.
Which is why when they actually whitewashed the Mandarin, it was a good whitewash up until about the third act of Iron Man 3.
Sure. Well, and I was one that actually I liked the twist. I will say, like, I liked it just because I liked that Ben Kingsley got to do some comedy there, and I thought that Trevor Slattery was a pretty in a vacuum hilarious character. But this is
worst MCU film of all time.
Fine. There's too much to get to. Also, we learned, though, that Shang-Chi cast this last Tuesday. Going to be played by Simu Liu, I think is his name.
Close enough.
Yeah.
Don't butcher it anymore than that.
If you haven't seen pictures of this dude or saw a video of him at the panel yet, this guy, Steve Sykes, one of our writers, said he just oozes hero. I think this is a fantastic choice for Marvel. How do you think they're going to handle all this, though, bringing in the Ten Rings mythology into the Shang-Chi story?
Well, I think this is going to be the one ground-based film after Black Widow. I think you'll have some kind of mysticism built in, so I'm sure this will tie into Doctor Strange a little bit. But you got to realize, Phase 4, as they've said, is going cosmic. Mm-hmm. We don't know how cosmic yet, because we don't know if that sword base that Nick Fury's on, or if it is a ship going somewhere, but we know we're going farther and farther out. So this being one of only two Earth-based films, it's going to be interesting to see how they handle that.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm really hoping, like, the biggest thing that disappointed me about Iron Fist on Marvel is that the Kung Fu just wasn't very good. Iron Fist on Netflix, the Kung Fu wasn't good. And it's just like, you got a karate show, man. Make the karate great. You're losing your one good thing here. So I'm hoping that Shang-Chi really goes all out on the karate. Whoever is doing fight choreo for John Wick and whoever did Kill Bill a little bit. Just get all the best choreographers you can.
I just want them to get a Hong Kong crew to do this and just let it go. You don't need any American cast. You don't need any American people behind the camera. Just film it in Hong Kong and make it a early 2000s Jackie Chan flick and call it a day.
You know what? Cosign. Whoever, get the crew from Rumble in the Bronx and just let them go. All right. So that's Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. Up next was the announcement, spring of 2021, WandaVision coming to Disney Plus. This one very much intrigues me because...
Another check for Scott was right. Check.
About what this time?
WandaVision will be set after Endgame.
Well, was somebody telling you no on that?
Everyone was saying Vision's dead, so it's going to be a prequel. Vision's dead, so it's going to be a prequel.
Exactly how Vision comes back.
he actually said on the stage he doesn't know how he's going to come back.
Exactly. So if Paul Bettany's telling you something.
But check. Scott was right.
Well, and I'm actually very, very interested in this one because obviously if you haven't read the Vision comic books and stuff, you know, he and Wanda's relationship is so unique in the comics. And I actually really loved those quiet scenes, the very brief quiet scenes they had in Infinity War. And I thought that the way Elizabeth Olsen played the scene where she had to destroy the Infinity Stone in Vision's head, I just thought that was beautiful acting and really conveyed the connection that they had. So I'm very interested to see what they can do with that over a whole series.
Well, and you mentioned the comics. One of the big things about the comics with Wanda is she is not mentally stable.
Right.
Because she's been through so much. And we've seen a little bit that already when she takes on Thanos and says, "You took everything from me." In the comics, she uses her mind to create children because she can't have children. And when those children disappear, lots of people die. Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff psychologically that we could do with Wanda that I'm looking forward to as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like Wanda, you're right. Like she has so much power that we still haven't tapped into. I mean, like, look, we haven't really tapped into the psionic powers of Scarlet Witch even a lot. MC. We got it a little bit in Age of Ultron when she gave the Avengers visions, but that's about it. Well, she's got a lot of power inside of her.
And as we've learned from Captain Marvel, somebody whose power is based on an Infinity Stone is near infinite. So she hasn't even scratched the surface yet.
Yeah, exactly. Well, not to be outdone by WandaVision, spring of 2021 as well, will bring Tom Hiddleston's Loki back in his own series on Disney Plus. Obviously, this was one of the crazy fun moments of Avengers Endgame when the plan goes awry, Loki gets the Tesseract and escapes through the portal back in 2012. I have no clue what really to expect from this. It was so cool to see Tom Hiddleston back on the Comic-Con stage. Of course, like when the first Avengers was coming out, he was the one hyping all the fans up for that panel back in, God, I think it was like 2011. It was just so cool to see him there. But this seems like this could be like a Doctor Who on acid with superheroes to me.
That's a description I've read from the producers, is it's Doctor Who with Loki.
Yeah, and I mean, like, that just more and more of that. So do you think – so Tom Hiddleston's character in Loki has always been playing on the fringes of hero-villain, especially in Thor Ragnarok, and especially at the beginning of Infinity War. Do you think we're going to get more of that dichotomy? Because remember, this is 2012 Loki. This is a Loki that just got fresh off of his evil scheme battle with New York with the Avengers.
Well, and what Hiddleston has said since the first Thor, which is why he plays such a good villain or anti-villain or anti-hero, is a villain. The good villains are the heroes of their own story. Mm-hmm. So I don't see much of a difference between Avengers Loki and Infinity War Loki, because really it's still Loki. He's going to do what he needs to do to move his story forward. So yes, is he not going to be as anti-hero as he was in Dark World when he had to, you know, help out his brother? Probably not. But I'm not expecting him to be like, you know, cigar chopping evil. I think he's going to be the Loki that we've all know.
Yeah, definitely. And as Hiddleston put it on the stage today, that this Loki will be the, quote, unevolved character who tormented the heroes of the first Avengers. So this is going to be a very, very interesting direction here.
Well, and keep in mind, too, MCU did release, and if you like it or not, but it's canon, they pointed out that part of the reason why Loki was a little too you know, unhinged in Avengers is the Mind Stone was acting on him.
Yep, was messing with his mind there a little bit. All right, well, not to be outdone, back to the movie side of things is May 7th of 2021. Are you freaking kidding me? This is my favorite title of all of them, people. We are getting Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. I cannot love this title more than I do right now, Scott.
When I posted that to the chat, I was like, no, I'm not kidding, folks. This is what it is.
This is so bonkers on so many levels. One, because Marvel could totally get away with it now. I mean, they could do...
Wait till you get to the Thor title.
Yeah, we'll get to the Thor title in a second. But, like, the connotation of this, though, is like so insane, especially because when I was thinking of it, like, where does Baron Mordo fit into this? You know, where does Chiwetel Ejiofor's character that we got teased in the end credits of Doctor Strange, where does he fit into this? Is he taking Doctor Strange through this multiverse of madness? You know, does Dormammu, does Nightmare play into this? And as Scott Derrickson said on the stage, that this is going to be the first purely horrific horror film, almost film in the MCU. So just an incredible amount of, man, what could possibly be in this movie? And of course, just bringing back Benedict Cumberbatch and everyone else. But I think also on the stage, though, they said that Wanda, Scarlet Witch, is also going to play a big part in this movie. So we're still getting some team-ups in the midst of this Phase 4 announcement, too. So, Scott, what was your reaction to the Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness?
Well, Mordo is not going to be the main villain because Derrickson did say that Nightmare is the main villain.
So my
main theory is my son won't shut up. My main theory is that as I mentioned, we're going to deal with Wanda's psychosis and the fact that she probably isn't going to end up WandaVision very, you know, well. I have a feeling that she busts open the doors to the multiverse. That's what leads us right into Doctor Strange.
Yeah, and I mean, like, you think about where with what happened with Spider-Man Far From Home, you know, with Quentin Beck trying to say that there's a multiverse and that the doors have been opened up. That, I think you're right on there. I think that would be an amazing way to once again also establish the tie-in of these Disney shows to the movies is that, yeah, what if Wanda literally breaks reality trying to do whatever she's doing in WandaVision? And, yeah, Doctor Strange has to find a way to maybe bring her back or try to help repair the rifts. And that's where we get something like the Fantastic Four and the X-Men. I think that would be a great way to take that.
No, my one hope, though, and they're starting to stew with the what-ifs, and I'm okay with the what-ifs as being one-offs. I don't want to have a DC universe where I have to follow 15 different universes to know what's going on. Mm-hmm. I want this to be a continual MCU to where I know that what happens in WandaVision or Loki is going to have at least an ancillary impact on what happens in 2025 when we get, you know, Guardians 4 or whatever. Yeah. So I just hope they don't go into the whole, you're never going to see the Fantastic Four and Thor meet because the Fantastic Four are in Universe 15-22-22. Yeah. I hope that if they're going to do this, let's bring everybody together at the end of it.
And I mean, you think about it, like what on earth could be a threat, could be something that follows Thanos in Endgame?
Galactus.
Would be a fantastic way to do that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, Secret Wars would be my personal love for that, but whatever. Also, so you already mentioned it, though. The next thing there is the next series on the Disney Plus service will be the animated Marvel What If series. Of course, this is a famous strain of the Marvel comic books where it reimagines our heroes and our scenarios of the Marvel universe in differences, such as Peggy Carter getting the Super Soldier series, as opposed to Steve Rogers, or Howard Stark donning the Iron Man armor, stuff like that has been out there for a long time here. And it was revealed that the series will be narrated by the Watcher character that will be voiced by Jeffrey Wright, he of Westworld and, well, just general great acting fame. But you see the Feige made a big point that the actors of the MCU will be reprising their roles, their voice roles, in this to play the characters they've been playing. And that includes a list that they revealed that has Michael B. Jordan, Sebastian Stan, Josh Brolin, Mark Ruffalo, Hiddleston, Samuel L. Jackson, Chris Hemsworth, Haley Atwell, Chadwick Boseman, Karen Gillian, Jeremy Renner, Paul Rudd, Michael Douglas, Sean Gunn, Jeff Goldblum, Michael Rooker, Natalie Portman, which we'll get to, Stanley Tucci, and Taika Waititi, among many, many others. Scott, what's your read on that?
When they put up that screen of all of them, it was all the actors from the MCU and the fat annoying guy from This Is Us was the last guy up there, and he's my least favorite character in This Is Us. So I was like, why is he there?
He's our face, man. We got to get him up there.
Oh god. But no, I again, as one-offs, this is going to be fun. I just hope that this doesn't turn into 15 different parallel universes that we have to follow. But as one-offs, I also think this is interesting because this is the first the first connection with the Fox franchises yeah. and the fact that we are getting a Watto the Watcher. Mm-hmm. We did have Watchers in Guardians 2. But this, I'm pretty sure based on the contracts and stuff, Uatu was off limits up until this point. So this will be the first time we get a Fox interaction.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that I think that you are absolutely right on the I don't think these are going to be things that you have to like track from story to story to story. I think this is going to be a pure anthology type of thing. Just here's the one off of this. I could be wrong. These could be kind of like interconnected and stuff, you know, but I think that this is probably going to be more like an anthology series where one story yeah. doesn't have anything to do with the other.
I think it's basically going to be the Marvel's version of the Twilight Zone. Uatu's yeah. going to show up and be Rod Serling and say, imagine if this happened. Well, I saw that in Universe 21252.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, right on the heels of that announcement was also the announcement of the Hawkeye Marvel series on Disney Plus. That one is going to be also coming out in 2021. The big thing here is that this show will explore Hawkeye's time as Ronin after the snap in 2018. And then this will also feature Kate Bishop and his training of Kate Bishop. So what's your read on the Hawkeye series? Because I'm really excited about this because I think that Jeremy Renner has a lot more to give as this character.
Well, and I'm blanking on the guy's name. The author who did a Hawkeye run 3 or 4 years ago, crap. But even the logo for this TV show is pulling from that run.
Yeah.
And that run is Kate Bishop and Hawk Guy, as everyone calls him, basically just living in an apartment doing the, you know, we're Avengers, but we're the Avengers who shoot arrows. So yeah. we're kind of just dealing with, you know, normal, like, we got to go get pizza and figure out how we're going to pay for the pizza. So I hate that I don't know the guy's name, but it's a really good run you should check out if you haven't. And like I said, the logo is exactly pulled from that comic. So I'm pretty sure that's the run we're going to have. Are you finding it?
I'm trying to find it right in here. I think Alan Heinberg and Jim Chen.
No, that's after. This was, there's also a graphic novel of it all put together. It was maybe 2013, 2014.
Yeah. Well, it's in there somewhere, guys.
So I will find it. I will find it before we're done.
Let's see here. Is it Leonardo Romero?
And no. Kelly Thompson? Nope. I'll tell you when I find it.
All right. Well, Scott will find that one. But yeah, I think this is going to be a very, very interesting one. And also Hawkeye just dealing with, obviously we don't know what's happening with the Widow film when that takes place in the timeline, but if he's still dealing with the ramifications of Natasha's death in Endgame as well, that might be a good way to play into this. But come on, man, let's just get to the bonkers all right off the bat. Thor 4 coming in 2021. Taika Waititi is returning to direct. Chris Hemsworth, Tessa Thompson are back. And it is going to be called Thor Love and Thunder, because why the hell not? I'm telling you, man, this logo, I mean, this looks like an 80s He-Man, Hulk Hogan, like WWE, like Macho Man logo from like the 80s. Like this is fan-freaking-tastic. And our fan Seth Wheeler on here said that it has Flash Gordon plus Mad Max written all over it. And it really kind of does here. But of course, the big, big reveal is that the return of Natalie Portman to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and that she... I don't know. Did they actually conclude that she is playing female Thor in this, or that female Thor is appearing in this and she's also coming back?
There's assumptions being made because they said there was a female Thor in the movie and she held up the hammer on stage and said she had hammer envy. Right. Rewinding, by the way, the run was from 2012 to 2015, Matt Fraction.
There you go.
That's the Hawkeye run. But you see wrestling, and that's because that's what you know. Yes. I see He-Man. I said Thor Ragnarok was the He-Man movie I never thought I would get.
Yeah,
and this title, like,
basically just making He-Man movies at this point.
This title is a He-Man movie. This is Thor is He-Man anymore. I mean, they are making a He-Man movie supposedly, but they've made Thor into He-Man.
Well, I mean, just look, I can totally see how somebody could read that title and just be like, okay, but I'm here for it, man. I really liked Ragnarok. I liked what Watiti was up to, and I'm totally for it, man. Let's just keep the bonkers, keep the ridiculous going.
Well, and this just goes to show phase four, I think at the end of the day, is going to be remembered as the Jack Kirby phase.
Yeah.
Because Ragnarok oozed Jack Kirby. Obviously, Thor is going to have more Jack Kirby-esque, but also Eternals is a Jack Kirby mainstay. So yeah. I think we're going to see a lot more bonkers. You probably should have took a couple hits of acid before you walked into the theater type of movies, and that's okay. I also, it's interesting, this is another one where I think it's being impacted by the delay in Guardians 3, because obviously Guardians 3 is not coming out until probably 2022, 2023. And that's because of the whole rigmarole with Sean Gunn and everything else.
Well, yeah, James Gunn got fired for past tweets, took the job on Suicide Squad 2, is not giving that up, but Marvel brought him back for Guardians Volume 3. So.
And I'm pretty sure the plan was that the Guardians 3 was supposed to be a 2021 release.
I think you're right.
And so this basically tells me that our whole as Guardians of the Galaxy from the Endgame is not happening.
Yeah,
and that's if it does happen, it's not going to be in the, they just went on the ship together and started looking for Gamora or whatever they're going to do. I think this is going to disconnect Thor from the Guardians, unfortunately, but that's just what we got to deal with.
Yeah,
but
that's probably something you can do in like the first 10, 15 minutes of the movie, you know, but you're right though. It does kind of suck that we won't first get an adventure with Thor and Star-Lord constantly battling for control of the ship there. What's your read on Natalie Portman returning here? I mean, obviously they wrote a scene for her in Endgame, but that did not end up happening. And they used footage from Thor the Dark World to make her, you know, appear as if she's doing new stuff in it. But do you think this is a course correction for her? I mean, do you think she just needs some time away or payday? I mean, what do you think it is?
Well, okay. First off, when I say what I'm going to say, I have absolutely no problem with Jane Foster as Thor. I think I'm all for a female Thor. So don't say that I'm being misogynistic when I say this. I don't like Natalie Portman. I never have. I don't think she's that good of an actress. And I'm not looking forward to her trying to fill out an Asgardian armor. And the reason why she left, supposedly, is one, she felt that she was too big for Marvel. And at that point, maybe she was. But also she was pissed off because the director that was supposed to do Thor 2 did Wonder Woman. My God, why can't I think of names?
Patty Jenkins.
So Patty Jenkins was going to do Thor 2. Patty Jenkins and Natalie Portman are friends. Mm-hmm. And so when Patty Jenkins was let go, Natalie was like, well, I'm kind of done now. You have me under contract.
Except but I'm, ink on paper.
Yeah, but I'm pretty annoyed. So you're going to have me sleep through most of the movie. Fine. Yeah. But now this is Natalie Portman 10 years or close to 10 years after Black Swan. She doesn't have much going for her. So I think now Marvel's bigger than Natalie Portman and she's realizing she's got to come back.
You know, I'm kind of okay with that, you know, because like, look, aside from anything else, you know, like Natalie Portman has been a very good actress for a while. Not for in recent memory, but you know, Black Swan is great. You know, and she's been acting since I think in the womb. So, I mean, she's clearly still a big name in here. And, you know, I think that it was nice to see her in Endgame, you know, to remember that she was there. And if she's actually going to try this time and, you know, if she's going to get fully on board with what Taika Waititi is up to with these movies now, I'm just fascinated to see how that's going to work.
Here's what actually happened. Bob Iger went to her and said, look, we've got to have you be a Force ghost in Star Wars 9. Can you do that for us? And she said, I'll do that, but I expect a bigger payday than what you're going to give me. Well, how about we stick you in Thor 4? Okay.
Yeah, how about Thor 4 there?
So this is her Star Wars money is all this is.
Look, if you look at the video of the panel, I mean, it looks like she's into it, you know? So, I mean, look, if she's had a change of heart on how she views Marvel, great. And I think that the good things can come.
I hope she actually acts in this one as opposed to the first two she was in.
There you go. We both agree on that one. Well, and obviously the big one of the biggest parts that everybody was waiting for was the announcement of the Black Widow movie that is already shooting. They did screen footage of this, and of course it is going to lead off Phase 4 on May 1st of 2020. Going to be directed by, Kate Shortland, and it's going to, of course, star Scarlett Johansson, David Harbour, Florence Pugh, O.T.
Better you than me.
Sure. And of course, Academy Award winner Rachel Weisz, another Academy Award winner in the Marvel stable here. It was revealed that the villain of this film will be the Taskmaster, not the former WCW wrestler, but the. And actually, look, this is a really cool, underrated villain from the Marvel Comics
universe. Yes, he is. He's fun.
He's a very fun character because if you don't know him, his power is that he can literally mimic the physical powers of anybody he sees. So he's got, I think technically it's like a super photographic memory is what they explain it as in the comics, but I'm sure you
hand
can
wavy, hand wavy,
hand wavy and stuff. So I think you can go a little bit there, but I think that's a really cool foil for Black Widow in this. And you know, they didn't give a ton much else on when it falls in the timeline. Unless I missed a report,
they said after Civil War.
Yeah, so we are getting a prequel unless they decide to jump, you know, a lot near the end.
Here's what's going to happen, okay? Here is what's going to happen. Lou, write it down because you're wrong and I'm right.
Oh, here we go.
This will be – because they also said this is happening in Budapest. So I think we're going to have three different timelines here. We're going to have the timeline where – Black Widow first meets S.H.I.E.L.D. and meets with Hawkeye. That's the Budapest scenes. We're going to have after Civil War, which is where, Iron Man points out in Civil War, everyone's out to get her now because she's not only burned S.H.I.E.L.D. with releasing everything to Congress, but now she's also burned the United Nations as well, too. So they're all out to get her there. And all of this is going to be flashbacks while – we do have Jeremy Renner as Hawkeye working to bring her back.
Okay. Well, and I'd be fine with that. I mean, look, we don't have a lot of information about how the Soul Stone works in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Obviously, there's a plethora of information out there from the Infinity Saga comic book run, but we don't really know what the rules of the Soul Stone are, whether she's trapped in there or whatever. But you're obviously of the persuasion that Nat isn't completely gone in the MCU timeline.
Scarlett Johansson is, because there's also rumors going around that we're actually going to get a new Black Widow, a new actress taking over. Scarlett Johansson's a bankable actress. They're not getting rid of her.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely makes the business sense. Well, that was the bit we thought that was going to be the big thing, you know, like.
And then came the verbal diarrhea that was Feige in the last 5 minutes.
I swear to God, I thought this panel was 2 hours, but apparently it wasn't.
Feige thought it was 2 hours too.
So apparently Kevin Feige had a lot more stuff on there, but the Comic-Con people are like, no, dude, it's time to go.
You have to get off the stage for Kevin Smith. He's next. Get off the stage.
We have to appease Kevin. He has podcasts. But Kevin Feige says they're basically at the end, just kind of blurts out that the end of Phase 4, which they don't have concrete dates for yet, is, of course, Guardians 3, Black Panther 2, Captain Marvel 2, and
the Fantastic Four.
Just great, great, great that they were able to just say that just out there. And I mean, like, look, it's not like we didn't know that that was going to happen, but are you surprised that it's coming in Phase 4, not just for the alliterativeness of that?
No, there's been a lot of people who have said that they're going to wait, and they're going to not tap into the Fox franchises, the X-Men and the Fantastic Four for a while. What was that?
Feige said that once upon a time, I think when the acquisition was first finalized.
He also said that Captain America Civil War was going to be Captain America Serpent Society. Okay. So take what you will. But
movie studios lie.
Two reasons why they're going to tap into it quickly. One is it's bankable franchise names that they haven't had yet. As much as I think Eternals is going to do well, why are you going to dip into Eternals and Shang-Chi when you have the X-Men and the Fantastic Four? And along with that, too, it all comes back down to the separation that Marvel Comics and Marvel Studios had several years ago, where Feige finally went to Bob Iger and said, I do not want to work with Ike Perlmutter over Marvel ever again. And Ike Perlmutter has had a hard-on against Fantastic Four to a point where he wrote them out of the universe the comics.
Yeah, they got rid of the Fantastic Four comic book, for crying out loud. Yeah.
Like, he literally wrote them out of the universe for a time because he doesn't like the Fantastic Four. And the reason why we got the Inhumans TV show is because Iger didn't want to give any money to the X-Men. Yep. Now the X-Men have come home, the Fantastic Four have come home, and both franchises are extremely bankable. And I think you'll see both of those franchises kick into gear by 2023. Yeah. The X-Men is too big of a name to let sit there.
Yeah, and I think the X-Men, you could let the X-Men sit a little longer just because we still have that bad taste of Dark Phoenix and the...
But do we? No one saw it, so is it really bad taste? If no one ate the bad beef, no one's going to get sick from the bad beef.
That is a fantastic point that I did not consider.
If a tree falls in the woods and no one's there, do they hear it? No.
That is, bonus points to Scott for that one. and I mean, look, we thought that was going to be it, but
here's two-time Academy Award winner
Mahershala Ali, who technically has been in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
And that tells us, too, again, that the Netflix deal, part of that was you're never getting those Netflix characters again. Right, if you liked The Purple Man and Jessica Jones, as I did, yes. I'm sorry, it's over.
It pretty much is. But Mahershala Ali, two-time Oscar winner, reigning Best Supporting Actor winner, comes out on stage and puts on a hat that says Blade, the Let's Ride Walker Vampire Killer, is coming to the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
We don't even know if it's Disney Plus or film yet. We don't know.
quick, put the hat on, man.
And I was like, did anyone catch? Is that a film? Or I don't know what that is.
But again, you get Mahershala Ali to play Blade. Are you freaking kidding me, man? Like, this is an embarrassment of riches Marvel is giving us here.
Well, and we also know that Ghost Rider is coming to Hulu, and it's going to be the same guy who played Ghost Rider in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Exactly. It's going to be Robbie Reyes, but they're going to do a reboot with the same actor. I guess they like the actor. So we're getting Marvel Knights interspaced. So I can see Blade being either an R-rated Fox film, much like Deadpool is probably going to be, or a straight-to-Hulu show. But with a name like Mahershala Ali, I don't think you stick him in Hulu.
I don't think so either. I mean, yeah, there are a few bankable actors right now that are giving consistently great performances than Mahershala Ali. I mean, this guy is literally a walking Oscar nomination right now. So, I mean, yeah, like, want to throw that on Hulu just, you know, because you got him. I mean, like, yeah, I mean, if you could make a movie out of that, make a movie out of that. Blade, I don't think ever gets enough credit for starting the whole comic book movie run. I mean, it was 2 years before X-Men, Bryan Singer's X-Men, and I thought the first Blade was pretty damn fun, personally.
I'm one of the few people who thinks Blade 2 is not as good as Blade 1. I know a lot of people love Blade 2 more, but Blade 1, I think, is the best of the franchise. So. We knew this was happening. We didn't know Mahershala Ali. No. But there has been rumblings for about 6 months now that Wesley Snipes is working with Marvel to do a Blade something. And the assumption was, because if you look at Wesley Snipes in Expendables 3, dude can still pull it off. The assumption was he was going to be Blade. But obviously not.
Well, and you're right, we know literally nothing about this. I mean, this could be a Blade Son of Blade type thing, you know, like this could be anything here. But I just the fact that the freaking Daywalker is going to be there in the same universe as Sam Wilson's Captain America, are you freaking kidding me?
And come see on. That's a, I mean, I have ultimate faith in Kevin Feige. He has not steered me wrong since the Mandarin, but I don't know how we go from everything we've seen to vampires. I don't know. I'm interested to see how vampires are going to work into this.
Take it the Morbius route from the Spider-Man animated series, and it's some kind of like blood disease type thing.
Well, and they can't use Morbius because Morbius is being used by Sony. And I'm sure it will be destroyed by Sony. Don't worry.
Spider-Man, however, there was that clause in the contract, the $1 billion clause that would kick in. And it looks like Far From Home is definitely going to hit that $1 billion threshold. So, the web crawler is safe for now, people.
That is assumed, and I think you're right. But we know Sony is making a Morbius film. We know they're making Venom 2, which I still don't understand how that made money, but okay, whatever. But so those characters are off limits. So, I mean, yeah, you could do something like that, but Morbius will not be a part of it.
Definitely. And the only other bit of news for Marvel today, Endgame is officially now the highest grossing film of all time. It has officially passed Avatar. The estimates are finally in there.
Mojo still has it down 5 million.
Yeah, but I mean, like, look, I'm going to trust Kevin Feige's numbers more than Box Office Mojo's.
I think Bob Iger just, like, you know, went and bought a $5 million ticket. He went over to El Capitan and said, "I'm buying out this theater for the next month."
I know, right? I think somebody on Twitter I saw that. It's just like, Marvel, just buy like 5 million tickets and just give them to like children's hospitals. And boom, there you go. Anonymously donate.
And James Cameron's going,
"Yeah." Yeah, James Cameron's like, "Well, I'm going to re-release Avatar now." I think no matter which numbers you look at, I think the writing's on the wall that Endgame is eventually going to get that worldwide, which I think is well-deserved. The movie is fantastic and much better than Avatar. So,
and now that I've seen it three times because I went to go get my poster, it is my favorite MCU film.
Yeah, me too. I've seen it so many freaking times, and it just keeps getting better. So, all right, people, we talked for a long time here. The Marvel panel was nuts. Look, go to our Facebook page / The Front Row Network to find all of the announcements as they were happening and get some information and to interact with the people who are talking about it. Tell us what you think of this stuff. Which one are you most excited for? Blah, 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 blah. Look, we've got one more day of Comic-Con, people. We still got one more day. And this is what's happened here. So, obviously, a lot of stuff we will continue to talk about this, I'm sure, for a very, very long time. But that's going to wrap it up here. If you want to find us, go to frnpod.com or nprillinois.org. And of course, on our social media channels, the Front Row Network on Facebook and Instagram at Front Row Reviews with a Z on Twitter. All right, that's going to do it for this day 3 recap of Comic-Con International in San Diego in 2019. For the Front Row Network, I'm Jeremy Gechner.
Say bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Clark, by the time X-Men rolls around again, Clark will be old enough to see it.
So. That's right, and he'll appreciate a good X-Men, finally.
I'm going to get him into the cartoon soon enough, don't worry.
Oh, yes, do that first, because that is
the good X-Men.
Okay. All right, everyone, that's going to do it. Thank you, everyone. Come back tomorrow for a day 4 recap.